from the man that speaketh forward things, perverse things. You think about what our Lord had to endure, not just in men's actions and words, but thoughts. Many times, you read in the New Testament, it was just their thinking about him that caused him to discover the very thoughts of their hearts. And here they were all dressed up in their Sunday-going-to-meeting clothes, acting like they were somebody. They had never dealt with anybody that could see them just as they are in their depravity. And how are they described here in verse 13? I say, how are they? How are we described? Because as the Lord has taught me, it's not they and them. It's me. It's we who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. I don't believe anybody has learned of Christ until they've been taught of themselves. That left to ourselves, we would continue to leave the paths of uprightness. We don't even know what uprightness is. Let's be honest. I know we have definitions. Well, this is what holiness is, and this is what uprightness is. But give me an example in your life. I don't believe we've ever had a thought that isn't sinful. Or a thought that isn't somehow in self-interest. That's our problem. That's what condemns us. Someone says a prayer, and their first thought is, well, I hope that was a good prayer. What makes a good prayer? It's not what comes out of this mouth. We don't even know how to pray as we ought, is the way it's put in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It takes the Spirit of God with groanings that cannot be uttered. Those thoughts in your heart where the Lord shows you you're a desperate sinner and you don't even know how to cry out to him. But guess what? Already the fact that he's made you aware of it is a good thing. Abstain from fleshly lusts. I know most people read that and think in terms of, oh, that's that, those sinful lusts that we're not to follow. What he's talking about is abstaining from anything in this flesh or desire that might in any way turn your eyes off of Christ and put your confidence in those things other than in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, which war against the soul? I can imagine this family of Joseph and the torment and turmoil and the thoughts that were going through their mind and heart. But where was their peace? Where was their rest? It was in that Joseph had been established to be their intercessor. And they didn't move, they didn't breathe, they didn't speak, but what Joseph told them exactly what to say. I love that. That's the way it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not representing ourselves. But if Christ is our representative, then we're at peace. But that's our lot in this world, as pilgrims and strangers. So I trust we can identify with that. That's how Joseph is a type of Christ here, going before Pharaoh on behalf of his father and his brother. So this is not simply a script of a play. Like someone would look at this and say, okay, I can play the son. Let me go through this script and learn my words, and then we'll have the play, and everybody will go home afterward, and it'll be a good play. Now, this is reality. We're talking about a holy and just God. And here we see not only just how holy and just he is, but just how wicked and depraved we are. When I said the way of evil, were you thinking of the world out there? Or were you thinking, that's what's in here, the way of evil? That's how we need to think. And I run into so many people so often that keep talking about this. Can you believe how wicked the world is? And the Lord has directed me more times than not to pause and say, have you ever considered the wickedness of your own heart? those things that you think that have never been exposed to the world, that were they exposed, you would be denounced as just as evil as the very ones you're criticizing out here in the world. And if it took the Lord Jesus Christ coming and working out this righteousness that God required on our behalf, that tells us that it's not in ours, our hands, to be able to do to satisfy Holy God. It's in His hands.